This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I saw a lady jogging at night, and it's like, damn, girl, you're just asking to get better cardiovascular health.
I'm Brandy Posey, and dogs might all be genius scientists, but we'd never know because they don't have thumbs to write down their brilliant little equations.
Aww.
I'm Tess Barker, and probably the worst part of being a writer is when you have to do the writing.
Mm. Yup.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to lady, lady to lady.
Hey, everyone. It's a podcast. Heard of it?
Oh my God.
What? A podcast?
Can I just say, I love all of our listeners. They're great.
Me too.
Every time they like interact with, they're all like doing cool jobs. They're all just great. We love you all.
I know. You guys You're crushing it. You're just out there in the world crushing it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's cool to think that we're in your ears as you crush it.
I know.
Yeah, so we're also crushing it, too, because we're there.
Fuck, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crushing it, crunching it.
Speaking of being in the ears, has there been any science done on why it feels so good to use a Q-tip? I was thinking about that the other day. Like, are there nerve endings in there? What's going on?
I bet there is. Yeah, there's got to be.
Has to be, right?
Has to be. Why Q-tip?
I think it's also because it feels a little naughty.
Yeah, it's like how dogs can't scratch their own ears, so they like when you do it.
Right, but also I do think it itches. You know, like when you have like in the back of your throat itches, but it's also your ear. It's like, it feels like there's only very few things you can do that actually scratch that, and that is one of them.
Yeah, it feels like a real access point, but you're right. It feels like, oh, like it's just this part of my skin that just like, oh, do you touch me? Like, I love it.
Yeah. Ears are filled with nerve endings, and stimulating these via cotton bud use can trigger all sorts of visceral pleasure, as well as what dermatologists refer to as the itch scratch cycle.
Oh.
Once you start, it's difficult to stop.
And we know we're not supposed to use Q-tips for it, but it's like literally, what else are you using this for?
Whatever. You know, the world's on fire.
Have you guys thought about going and getting your like ear cleaned? Because that looks insane and gross, but also very
amazing. That is like that. Right up my alley. I've done it before. I'll do it again.
Wow. I've heard it sounds like feels like you're like out from underwater afterwards.
Oh yeah, it feels good. It feels like your ear is pooping.
Damn, it's like a weird wax thing with like heat that pulls it out. Is that? What
I mean, I've only been to like an ENT that's done it, but
yeah.
Okay.
I assume. I mean, the ENT uses like some kind of, I think, water or saline kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of like a whatever for your nose. What is it called?
Yeah. Neti pot.
Yeah, neti pot.
Neti pot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which I love that too. That's a good one too. When you get like a nice big snot chunk that comes like out. Oh, it feels good.
Dude, there's this chiropractor video that will show up in my explore page sometimes because I have a deviated septum. They put a tiny balloon up in your nasal cavity and then they use like a little like a little air thing to blow it up real quick.
Whoa.
So it like expands your cavity and then they pull it out. And like it looks like the most satisfying thing ever because I like can't breathe out of half of my nose.
Whoa.
And
you gotta do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I've thought about it, but I'm also, every time the video shows up, I'm like, it looks so good. But also, I don't know that I trust anybody to do that shit to my face.
yeah, it was a little scary.
Yeah. I'm just like,
it's a little close to the eye slash brain.
Yeah. That does sound really satisfying though.
Yeah. Sweet. Every time it happens, people just look, it looks phenomenal. I'll send it to you guys the next time I see it. Really looks beautiful. Oh my God.
Should we get to our episode of comedy podcast?
Yes. I think it's probably time to. Yes. Yes.
Do you want to do it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Our guest today is amazing. She opened for me when I was up in Seattle in June, and I just loved her comedy so much. She's very funny. You can see her on PBS up in Seattle, too. Enjoy our conversation with Monisa Brown.
And podcast.
And ready? Okay.
So, yeah, let's just jump in to hanging out with our guest. She's so funny. We're so excited to have her on the show. Welcome, Monisa Brown. Hey.
Hi, what's up?
Hello. Hey. I'm loving your Barbie vibe. You've got pink headphones, pink tank top.
Thank you. I've been trying to do like a capsule wardrobe, so I have been buying like everything pink so then everything matches.
Oh my God. That's so smart. Everyone's like, do all navy, and it's like, who wants to do that?
Oh. No. I do pink, lavender, and then like a pastel green. Those are like my main colors.
Ooh, I love this.
Yeah, that's nice.
And is your life less stressful now that you have a capsule wardrobe?
Yes. It's so satisfying. I just get dressed and then I'm like, oh my gosh, everything's perfect. Everything matches.
I love that. Do you feel like it like affects the way that you like interact with people in the world? Like...
I feel like it makes people happy when they see like monochromatic or just like one of everything. People are like, oh my gosh, I love this. I do the same thing for my Animal Crossing game, like my character on Animal Crossing. Aww. So I'm basically just copying her.
Hey, the inspo can come from anywhere. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
That Sims, dressing my Sims, it's a imperative moment. Yeah, I like that. I only have a few pink things, but I've been wearing them, you know, a lot this summer, and they all do go together. It's so amazing. Like, you can't really mismatch pinks if they're, like you said, monochrome. It just, like, all works. I love it. Have you been trying to do the capsule thing for a while?
I just started, like, last year. I don't know why. I was just like, everything has to be pink. Just, like, I don't know. Reconnecting with my inner child. I think that's what it is.
You were ahead of the curve on reconnecting with your inner child. I feel like that's very on theme this summer.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's called like serotonin dressing, or that's not the right word, but it's something like that where it's a thing where it's like you dress really brightly, you know, like you're trying to, it's definitely a thing. And I do love it. I love it. I just love it. I don't know if my favorite colors look good on me or not. Like, my favorite colors now are, like, orange and green. And it's, like, the orange doesn't necessarily look good on me. Green does. You know what I mean?
Green looks really good on you.
Yeah, I think it, like, brings out my colors. But orange is, like, too matchy or something. So it's, like, I can't be an orange gal.
I mean, I'd like to see you just lean into a full, like, maybe their oranges aren't bright enough. Maybe you haven't gone, full orange.
I mean, I guess I'm not looking for it either.
Mm-hmm. You could also do like burnt orange or like closer to brown.
Oh, that's true. We got like a fall. Yeah. I do like an earth tone, earthy orange.
Like a rust. A rust is always nice.
Yes.
I know. The only color named after decay that makes you go, ooh, I think.
Love like my decay, decay colors.
Decay decator or whatever.
Decay chic.
Yeah.
DKNY, you know, all the decays.
Yeah.
We could launch
Donkey
that.
Kong. No.
Man, sometimes you'll see a candle description. I was just in Joshua Tree this weekend, and like it'll have like rust or earth or like moss or whatever in it. And you're like, shut up. That's not what this is.
Like, you don't like that? You don't like earthy stuff?
I do like it, but then you'll smell the candle and you'll be like, no, this doesn't smell. You're just saying words that make me feel good to hear. But
not
it's
genuine
not.
Enough for you. You want the real slime. The real.
Yeah. Well, I will just like candles have gotten so expensive that I'm just like, you better have a hologram in you or something.
I will say. Oh, wait, Tess, you were going to order a strawberry shortcake candle. Did you get it?
Thank you for mentioning it. I was just about to. Yeah. I'm on my second order of those candles.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Price is Right introduced into our world. This is a free advertisement. They don't pay for advertising.
They're not a sponsor.
But I got, when I went on the show for last year, I was in an episode where they gave a bunch of free shit out to the audience. And one of those things was a gift certificate to this place called Goose Creek. Highly recommend. Best candles ever. They always on sale.
Cheap.
It's like eight bucks for a huge, like, three wick candle.
Your whole house, the smell factor. Sean has told me that he can smell it when he's walking home from work.
What?
He's like a little cartoon wolf being led by the smell.
Damn.
They're amazing. Yeah. And you can also really, they all tell you the scent, you know, like the, what the scent has going on in it. And I always like a fall or like a, you know, rain type scent. They have tons of those. Obsessed. They're so good.
They're so good. And this special edition one that I'm on my second order of, they did some special ones that are scented like the Strawberry Shortcake dolls. And they smell exactly like
that
Strawberry
is
Shortcake.
Crazy.
So I gave one to my friend for her birthday. She was like, this smells exactly like my childhood. I was like, I know.
I love that. See, and the price is right on that. It just sometimes you see like a candle that's like $80 and it'll be something that's like this size. And you're like, okay.
No, it's crazy. I mean, they're very expensive.
Well, that's why, I mean, I don't want to pimp these candles out too much, but I'm a, I have fallen for the $80 candle. I'll tell you, I was waiting for this candle shipment to get to my house and I was candle-less for two nights and it was a difficult two nights. Like,
Smell of a home.
I'm like a weird candle hoarder where I'm like, I don't want to use them up. So I haven't been using them. So they're just sitting around not getting used.
Oh, girl, the price is right. Just burn, baby, burn.
pear and hazelnut crepe. Anyone? Yeah. Ooh. I've got a.
Damn.
They're nice. And so my friend who was on Price is Right with me, Robin, she was like, oh, I need to use my thing. And I was like, girl, what are you waiting for? She was like, I couldn't decide. I looked at all the smells and it was too much. So she's just sitting. And it was like $250 worth of candles. I got a lot
of
candles.
That's like a million of those candles.
Yeah, I got a lot. I've got back stock, everyone.
Wow.
I still have to watch that episode that we were on. I never watched it. Yeah.
Big candle news.
I don't know. Shit. Sorry, everybody. We're really, this is like what we're into.
Candle corner over here. Monisa, thoughts, candles. Eddie, hot takes. Flaming takes.
I used to be very into candles, but my cat hates like scent. She's very smell sensitive. Oh, and then she also would just like try and get into the flames. So we had
she's
to get
a little
rid
pyro.
Of them. Yeah.
Style.
She's a maniac. but I miss them so much. My building, my apartment building is just like, smells like old man cigarette, like crotch. It's awful. I just do air purifier like all the time. That's my only thing.
Cats can really, I mean, animals in general, but cats can really fuck up your lifestyle because you're like, I want house plants. No. They got to be far up out of their reach or else you're fucked, you know. The aesthetic, the vibe is really getting fucked up when you got a cat in your life.
Yeah,
exactly.
Of course, everyone likes around Christmas time when we get the, like, BuzzFeed articles of the cats being naughty with Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's classic.
So adorable.
Classic. Yes. I mean, I will say, like, lately, because I've got two cats and, like, I mean, this isn't obvious as a pet owner, I think, but just, like, walking into a room and just a cat being in there, you're like, Yeah. It just feels so good. I just love how they're just in random places all the time. Like, I don't really know to where expect them, and they're just, like, living their little life around me. It's just lovely.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I was just in the portal, and now I'm back. It's good to see you.
Exactly. They were talking to ghosts in the corner, and now...
Yes.
Yeah. Take a quick tin, check in with you, or whatever.
Yeah, the little Ouija board that they're doing in the basement or whatever the fuck they're doing. Craft, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Yeah. And they're like, I'm both because I'm a cat or nothing at all.
I have no bones. Yeah. It's great. I love taunting my boyfriend with pictures of kittens that need to be adopted.
Oh, my gosh. I want a cat to just come up to me. People always find kittens out in like fields and stuff. I want that so bad.
Would you keep it? Yeah, the cat distribution.
Yeah.
You have to keep it if it comes up to you.
I think
that's the rule. You got to.
Yeah.
That's what I want too, because then it's like there is no void. We didn't make the choice. It made the choice for us. And that's what you need.
Mm-hmm. We can't be in a fight. This animal chose us. So.
Exactly. Like there's no question about it at that point.
Yeah. We're just pawns in the cat's game. Oh, God. I would love for that to happen to me too. I might just have to like get a studio apartment for the cat.
That's good. And you know that's going to be more than one cat. You're looking at multiple cats in that studio.
Once you got it, they got to have a friend. You could have an office cat, Tess.
You know, it's certainly something I've thought about, but I did. My lease does explicitly say that I can't have animals living here.
Oh.
But speaking of office pets, I brought Garth to work with me today, and he's been real naughty.
He's a little chihuahua.
Yeah, I left him in here while I was at Pilates, came back, he was barking up a storm, briefly went and peed and left him in here just now, came back, he was really mad at me. So I think everyone, and basically I'm telling you this because I think it's only a matter of time until I get a note under my door saying I'm not allowed to have dogs here.
Yeah, I think when we had a guest on who we were saying, what would you say to your cats if you could, or your pets if you could say anything? And they were like, I'll be back. That's what I would say. I will return. Yeah. You need to understand that me leaving right now, it's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
They don't get that. Causes them much anxiety.
I think if I could say anything to my cat, I would just be like, are you good, bro? Because she's just like shouting constantly. I'm like, I don't think anything's wrong. I think you're just mentally unwell.
She's just very vocal.
What's her name? What's her scene?
Her name's Chloe. She's a calico cat. She's 9 years old.
Chloe.
I'm surprised she's not in here shouting right now.
Welcome anytime.
Yeah, more than welcome.
What's Chloe's story? Have you had her since she was a kitten?
No, I adopted her last year, actually, from the Humane Society. And I don't know, I should think she had a wild life. When she got to the Humane Society, that's when she got fixed. So she got fixed when she was like 8 years old. And I'm like, were you hoping to have a family and now that's taken away from you? I just... worry about her. Aww. But they said that her previous owner died, and I'm like, oh no. I just think she's had a traumatic life.
Oh, baby girl.
Well, I'm glad you got her.
Yeah.
I know it's always wild when you get an older pet and you're like, I wish I could like see what
I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
What's like, did you have friends? What garbage were you eating? What? Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll do like little like TikTok filters on her, and the other cats will appear around her, and I'm like, this must be your family that you left. I do have a suggestion, though. If your like building says that you can't have a pet, you could say that they're an emotional support animal. And I don't know what state you're
in. Could you do that for an office? That'd be amazing, actually.
I mean, if I have to support animal. Yeah, I have to. I need my animal to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get a doctor's note.
That's a good suggestion.
I think you should be like, this is my secretary. Get it? Like a little pencil set.
Oh.
Yes. That means to buying clothes.
A little desk, a typewriter.
Yes.
Yeah. Imagine little paws answering a little phone. Be really cute.
You've got the test block, a switchboard. What are you looking for? Meow, meow.
I will say, and I'm sorry, whatever. Cats throw up all the time. We get it. But Archie did a new one the other day. Cause he makes this really weird noise before he does it. He's like, and you're just like, oh boy, it's happening.
Oh, no.
And then he ran down to the basement like to do it. And then I was like, Archie. And he ran upstairs and threw up as he ran. But I wasn't running to anywhere. Like he was doing it, and then I think I said something while he was doing it, and then he started running. So it was like all over the house because he ran.
Damn, Archie.
All right, that's a new one. Thanks, dude. Good for you.
Fun.
He's very much like Adam. Like Adam has, Adam's like very sensitive and has a sensitive stomach. And I'm like a fucking garbage can that can eat anything. And our other cat is like a street rat. So we're on opposite ends.
You guys have two of each.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfectly balanced. I have to say, like, I'm a bit of a garbage can too. And like, I feel like that's something that like, we really like, it's such a blessing.
It is.
It is such a blessing. And we don't talk enough about being grateful for being a garbage can. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
What about you, Monisa? Are you?
I'm very jealous. I live my life like I'm a garbage can, but I am not.
That's tough when you're like, I have a desire to live this way. And I keep doing it and I regret it.
What sort of waste receptacle do you identify with?
I am just like a hardcore compost bin. I'm like, okay. I ate a corn dog this weekend and I was like, this was the worst idea ever.
Oh no.
It wasn't worth it.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst because I love a corn dog and when it's not worth it, damn.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so bad. I can eat anything. It doesn't matter. I don't feel it.
No. Yeah. Nothing happens. I mean, in foreign countries, everyone else is always like shitting out their butt and their nose. And I'm like, whatever.
Fine.
Well, you don't eat meat, so that probably helps, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true. Oh. That's true. Yeah, there's only really so much trouble you can get into in the plant-based world, but...
Yeah. I'm the same way, though. It's just, it's hot. Yeah, it's like, oh, man, it would be nice if something told me to stop.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
And if Rick is the same way. Like, he's also a garbage dumpster. Like, we were out of town.
We're
two garbage dumpers in one relationship. So we both have to stop and be like, okay, maybe we have salmon for dinner tonight. But then it's like last night we're driving home from the desert. We're like, road trip rules apply. So that means fast food dinner. We got back to LA and we were like, man, it's been such a nice day. Let's go get ice cream. And we just like kept, we can go. We can go and go and go.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you just got to know your limits. And I don't have any, unfortunately.
I don't know if it was My Strange Addiction or something or one of those shows, but there's a woman who only eats cheesy potatoes. That was all day, every day. That was all she ate. And so her...
Like different varieties of like French fries with cheese, baked potato with cheese.
Yes, different varieties.
Okay.
Okay. It is a good food.
I mean, it's delicious. There's a reason why that's all she's eating.
Yeah. Of all the things that you could only eat.
Yeah.
That's up there.
It's a classic.
Up there.
I mean,
she'll go through a drive-through and, you know, get it. She'll make it at home. Like, that's all she eats. Mm. And you guys, there's a GIF that came from this that is like very famous. But her partner tries to get her to eat vegetables. But the first thing what's the worst vegetable you give to somebody as a first vegetable? You
think? Peas. Broccoli.
Oh, peas is good. Broccoli.
Beets or like boiled Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
Boiled Brussels sprout. That's
that's the first
thing he tries to give this woman. And it's like, what? The most disgusting thing you could.
This relationship is doomed.
So there's a gif of her, like I've seen it before. She's just like trying to eat a Brussels sprout. She starts like gagging.
So gross. Oh no.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, no shit. Like that's the last thing. And it's like you should have put some broccoli into the cheesy potatoes. That should have been the first introduction.
Yeah. Oh my god,
then
broccoli.
Slowly separate it.
Or like a cauliflower cheese.
Right.
Like that's like the alternative. You know.
Hide it first.
Roast the Brussels sprouts.
Roast it.
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't even eat meat and I know that should have bacon in it. For your first time?
Yes.
It's so funny. It's just like you're so setting her up for failure here. Just like the smell of a roasted Brussels sprout.
That's what I mean. Like what? I think now this is no longer about her strange addiction and it's about why she's with someone who hasn't bothered getting to know her for 3 seconds.
Also, it's like, is that your favorite vegetable, bro? Is like that what you're bringing to the table? Why is it the choice?
Right. I mean, totally. Like Brussels sprouts, if once you get to know them, they're great. But we've all already established roasted is the best.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I think that this was like from this was a show kind of old. So obviously we've all been roasting veggies forever, but I feel like people didn't realize they could do it until like 15 yes. years ago. Yeah. So I think it was
I was raised with boiled Brussels sprouts and I hated them. I thought they were disgusting growing up. Yeah. It was like, I don't like those. The number of vegetables that I realized I liked once I had them done differently is wild.
Yeah. I mean, I think bitter is like a tough, it's a taste yeah. that you kind of have to come on to.
Yeah. It's acquired.
Yeah.
If you guys had to eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh.
Not corn dog.
I will say Disneyland corn dog is the first thing. Specifically. But I have eaten three of those in one day and did not feel good. So, no.
Barbara wants to burn bright and fast.
I mean, that is very true.
I mean, my brain, when you said that, just thought watermelon because I'm obsessed with watermelon and I eat tons of it, but that's not nearly nutritious or filling enough.
Yeah. I'm going to go pizza. Just it's like easy. Yeah. You can do different kinds. Mm. You know what I mean? You can get some veggies on there.
Mm-hmm. Man, when I was a kid, I got really fooled by the food pyramid. Me and this kid, in third grade, me and Victor Blackstone, the way we spent our summer, our lunches and then our recesses, we had a fitness club where we bought lunch every day and it was a pepperoni pizza, which had carbs and cheese and vegetables because of the tomato sauce and it had meat on it. And then you got a fruit as a side and then you got your fucking milk and that was all your entire pyramid.
Oh my God.
That was it. And we ate that every day for lunch in like third grade. And then we went out and we had these like trees in the recess and we would play the floor as lava with the root systems. Cause that was like us like getting our fucking exercise in. We were very into it. Big deal.
They did. Deal. The food pyramid did what it was they wanted.
Yep. Got us all to eat like shit?
Yeah, yep. I'm saying like, I feel like it was designed in bad faith. And then also the tomato being a vegetable, which is something that like big pharma, whatever, passed at schools.
It's as if we had the tobacco companies draft up a breathing pyramid.
Basically. Yeah,
for real.
Also, really if I remember wild. The food pyramid, like I feel like we were kids, so we didn't like think about the next thing, but isn't it like recommended like 8 or 9 servings of bread, seven or eight servings of meat? It's like how many things do we eat every day? Like there's 8 or 9.
Yeah. I remember as a child being like, oh, I haven't had 6 pieces of bread today. I'm not doing it right. Like, what?
Brandy was really following this food here.
I know. I need to look at it because isn't there literally, albeit a small triangle, but isn't there literally a triangle for cookies?
I think
the little tip top is like fats.
I think the dessert.
And oil,
sugar. Nuts.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are we working with here? Oh, I'm seeing healthy ones. Food pyramid 90s.
Yeah, we want the OG.
Yeah, that old school bullshit. Yeah, here we go. Bottom of the pyramid, bread. Oh, come on, open up so I can see it. You don't want me to see the truth?
We got bagel, spaghetti, bread, oatmeal, taco.
Spaghetti.
Yes.
Bread, cereal, rice, pasta, 6 to 11 servings.
6 to 11 servings of just that.
Yeah. You know, a giant muffin of pasta in a day. That's only one, man. Muffin is only one. You're not even getting close.
Wow.
Veggie, 3 to 5. Fruit, 2 to 4, which is very funny. And then above veggies and fruits, you've got milk, yogurt, cheese, 2 to 3. Meat, poultry, fish, beans, eggs, and nuts group. That's several groups, I think.
Yeah.
2 to 3. And then the top, fats, oils, and sweets. Use sparingly is all it says. Which it's wild to be like sugar and olive oil are the same thing.
I know. That's so. Is there anything more 90s than that?
I know. It's truly, truly wild. For our younger listeners, go have a look at the horrifying way we were told to eat as children. It's pretty hilarious and horrible.
God. But the good thing is that I'm totally over it now, and everything is healthy about the way that I consume food and feel about myself.
And that's the garbage can way of life. And that is what we do on this show.
That's our food pyramid. It's just a garbage can. Just open the lid, stuff it in.
Exactly. Exactly. If the Oscar's not grouching, you're not done.
Speaking of garbage can tendencies, can I tell you guys about this torture I'm living through right now?
Oh, boy.
Oh.
I did the grocery shopping on Sunday. Went to Trader Joe's. I think we've discussed recently how good their vegan cookies are.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. I'm kind of feeling fun, you know, so I get a thing of cookies. Sean's not home from the airport yet. So while I'm waiting for him, I eat like 75% of the bag of cookies. And I'm like, okay, yes.
Which is a serving. That's a serving. Yes. As we've established. Yes.
This motherfucker has so little need for controlling himself with sugar. He comes in the house, goes, oh, cookies. How fun. Doesn't eat one.
No.
Lives his life. We have dinner, yada, yada. Doesn't even have one for dessert. The next day, I'm home. I'm looking at those cookies. I'm like, it's down to the reserve. Like, you got to save the rest for him. But all day long, I'm just looking at them. Like, I'm just thinking they're kind of like salty and chocolatey. And I'm just thinking about them. Finally, right before he gets home from work last night, I can't take it. I have one, which is almost worse than having none because now I have the taste on my tongue. Last night, after dinner, he eats one more cookie. And that's it. And the rest of the cookies are still sitting in my kitchen. And I literally am like hiding out at my office away from those cookies right now.
You married this man?
I know.
Does he just not have a sweet tooth? Or
yeah, he likes fruit. We both like fruit a lot. Mm. So like he likes like a sorbet or like things. He's not as into chocolate as
I am. Okay, we all like fruit, but nature's what are we candy. Doing here?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that too. I like that too. Yeah.
And I love that you were like, I'm saving him some. And then they're just sitting there staring you in the face.
Yeah. Because now they're going to be like, if I go out, they're going to be gone. And then he's going to be like, where do the cookies go?
Damn.
Yeah.
The ultimate dilemma.
I know.
Yeah. That's no good.
No. I'll end up finishing those cookies. He's not going to finish them. That's right.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to buy some now because they sound great.
They're really good.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably get some after this too.
All right. We'll be back, everybody. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Monisa.
Yay. don't feel like you have to answer these as in any certain way. This is just a jumping off point, but we want to get to know you a little bit better via some business questions.
Okay.
Business.
Please be advised.
Business questions.
Are we moving the needle?
We've got some business.
Pull up a chair. Would you like some water?
Business questions.
Okay, Monisa, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I'm like not ready for this today. I'm
the perfect way to
very telling.
Who am I?
So perfect. Are you having a who am I day?
Can you succinctly describe yourself?
Yeah, we all know how to see ourselves from an outside perspective, right?
Totally.
Let's see. Who am I? I'm Monisa. I'm an actor. I'm a stand-up comedian. I host commercials, breaks sometimes. I don't know. I'm just a silly guy here for a fun time, not a long time.
Yeah. Good answer.
Yes. Perfect. Wait, what commercial breaks do you host? What is that?
I do stuff for my local PBS channel or KCTS9.
Cool.
So just like little things like asking for donations and stuff. Like next week I have to go in and do commercials for Celtic Women, the Celtic, I don't know if y'all are familiar with them, the
dancers?
They sing. They sing. They do like concerts. And I guess people in Washington love to watch these concerts. So
that sounds accurate.
Yeah. And it was a mind fuck for me the first time I did it, because I thought it was Celtic women, like plural, M-E-N, but it's Celtic woman.
Oh.
Singular. So I was doing like our commercial break and they're like, when you see you keep saying women, and I'm like, it's woman.
So is it a single woman?
No, it's a group. It's a group of them. Okay. But it's
really confusing.
So they're saying like we collectively come together. Right.
It's like
Celtic
it's
woman.
Not yes. The band isn't called the Beatle.
Yeah.
Boys to men.
Right.
Yeah.
Boy to man.
Boy to man does not chart. Does not chart.
Okay.
That's cool though. That sounds fun.
Yeah. That does sound fun.
I mean, I think it also speaks to your likability, because it's like, oh, here's this person asking for money.
Well,
I mean, honestly,
that's what I thought at first. But recently I found out everybody just loves my co-host. Not to like knock. Oh. My co-host is great. He's an amazing guy. He's like so friendly and nice. But I'll like meet people and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I host stuff for KCTS9. And they're like, oh, I've never seen you. And then I'm like, this is my co-host. And they're like, oh, I love Jay. I see him on TV all the time.
No.
And I'm like, we're in the same commercials together. How are you only seeing him? Like, what is
so rude
happening?
Oh my gosh, I want you to send us a photo of the two of you, and then we'll put our logo over his face.
Yes. Okay.
That's perfect. How we'll
yeah, I think this gives you an excuse to just do the weirdest shit you want, because it's like, yeah, you don't see me now.
Mm-hmm. I did do a yeehaw the other day for Women's History
there we
month.
Go
I was like, yeah. I don't know why though, it felt appropriate.
Was it like was that like a performance choice you made?
Yes. I was hoping it wouldn't make it into the final cut, but it did.
Of course.
Oh, they're not editing much out, I don't think.
No.
There's a lot of,
they don't care.
There's a lot of time being spent in the editing room there. They're just like, here it is.
No, PBS is like, we haven't gotten a yeehaw in a while. We'll take it.
Yeah, that's spicy for PBS.
Truly.
Okay, Monisa, tell me your biggest weakness, and what about your biggest strength?
Ooh, I think that my biggest strength is my ability to make any situation uncomfortable. Mm. And my weakness is, my body rejects all deodorant.
Oh, really? No.
Even like the stuff that causes Alzheimer's?
The what?
Even the stuff that causes Alzheimer's, like the regular one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
I don't know. I think I just used too much deodorant as a teen, and now my body is like, I hate this. So I'm just a natural girl.
That's good.
It keeps the bad people away, I think. The people who truly want to be my friends stay close.
Social distancing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I'll say we met up in Seattle and I got no bad smells off of you.
You know, the trick is to shower before every event.
Yes.
You know?
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, I'd say that's a life lesson for countless people.
One I'm trying to learn, but not that I don't go to things because I don't want to wash my hair, but
oh, well, my hair is a different story.
Yeah, that's true. That can go, who knows, whatever. That's yeah, it's on yeah. its own journey.
It's like a weekly situation. That's fine.
Yeah.
I remember reading recently, because there's a, isn't it like dry shampoo is like, some of it's not good for you now?
Well, some of it, yeah, I think is like causes cancer.
Yeah, I read something about that and I was like, I'm gonna need to look into this deeper. I have used it since then.
Me too.
Yeah, because I'm like, ah, that just shows like how little I want to shower versus have cancer.
Mm. Yeah, because, like, I'd rather put myself at risk and take a quick rinse.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, whatever, maybe that's our own strengths and weaknesses. I also think it's a power move to answer the strength question first. Can I just say I like that
as
a power move in an
interview?
That's
a strength. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a strength in itself.
Mm-hmm. It me just panicking, mm-hmm. truly.
I love
is that
it.
Your biggest weakness? Panicking?
Probably. I think my biggest weakness is that I'm just like overthinking constantly. Oh, I did get a nice t-shirt the other day that says overthinking. So now people at least know what's happening.
That is good because I think sometimes I might take something personally from somebody, but I'm like, oh no, they're just completely in their own like head.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a full breakdown about like something like completely different. like the way the barista smiled at me this morning, you know?
Yeah. It's always fun to be like going on with your day and then be like, but wait a minute, that interaction I had with a stranger 5 hours ago must haunt me now.
Right. That situation where I was trying to be kind, I said something maybe not perfectly and they probably hate me now.
Exactly.
That's 100% me.
Okay, Monisa, what's something that's not on your resume that we should know about?
Oh. I'm trying not to leave too many pauses. I have something new that I'm adding. I've just became a new type of person. I'm a Renaissance fair girl now.
That's
not on my, resume, but I just feel like that's my new identity. So
I mean, let's talk about this because so you came to this late in life. That's fascinating.
I literally went to my first Renaissance fair on Sunday.
Yes. Oh my God. So we're recording on a Tuesday. So between Sunday and Tuesday, you became a Renaissance person.
Yes. I knew that I would like it, but then when I got there, I was like, oh, unfortunately, these are my people.
Yeah.
I love a damn.
Tell us. I've never been to one.
So first of all, I just love costumes and like people dressing up and like the creativity and commitment that goes in. And I love like seeing, oh, this person's from this thing. And, you know, there were so many different interpretations. Like there were people dressed up like from video games, from like animes and like from TV shows. So I just love seeing all of that. And then just like a lot of yelling and mead, which I was like, I didn't think I'd be that into it, but
What was the mead? Was it just beer or what was it?
I don't know what mead is. Honey wine. Is that what mead is?
Oh,
I
think so. Okay.
Yeah. I've tried it.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So it's just like sweet alcohol. I don't know.
Okay. Since it's so close to meat, I think I assumed it was like a real thick alcohol.
Oh, no. It's nice. It's like light, sweet.
Okay.
Nice. I don't like to drink beer or anything. So like that, it was just like really delicious.
Yeah. Alcoholic beverage made by fermenting honey mixed with water and sometimes fruit, spices, grains, or hops.
I gotta try this.
Yeah.
On the mead train.
It was good. You gotta get, I feel like Trader Joe's might have good mead.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like I'm calling it now. It hasn't happened yet. So like mead is going to be in all the hip areas.
The next seltzer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're about ready to phase out seltzer.
Right.
Yes. I'm ready.
Cold dead hands.
I'm ready for it. It was just so much shouting. Like they would have I think one of my favorite things was they would have like people come by in like manacles, like all shackled up, like they're taking them to the gallows, and we would have to yell shame at them, and it was fun.
Were people just volunteering to get shackled up, or they're like actors as part of it?
Actors as part of it.
It's like immersive theater essentially.
Then they have like a big area where they're doing like jousting and like fighting and horse shit.
There's like falconers.
Yeah.
And like, I grew up in I'm a Ren Faire kid since childhood. I've always loved them. Cause there's the hired actors, but then there are people that bring their own performance to the fair for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And the best part, so this is your first Ren Faire, the best part about Ren Faire also is afterwards finding the closest diner and finding people who have been drinking at a Ren Faire all day at that diner.
That's a good call.
That is watching them sober up afterwards. That is a real top tier experience as well.
We went to Taco Bell afterwards to sober up.
The old Taco Bell. Bella Tacos.
Authentic experience.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like Ren Faire is one of those things that like, it makes sense that you win. You're like, oh, this is my shit. Because I think as you just don't know, you like, and you kind of are like, oh, maybe that feels nerdy or something. And it's like, I don't know if I'd be into it. And then you go and you're like, oh, okay, this is me. I just have to be free to say like, this is totally my thing.
Just let my
and everybody has their titties out, right?
No, not too many titties out. You know, it felt pretty modest.
Okay.
But maybe that's because I was there early in the day. Maybe the titties were coming later.
Okay.
I did feel like I should have had mine out more. I was kind of disappointed with myself, but there's always next year.
What was your look?
I had a corset and then a dress and some elf ears. Ugh.
Boom.
I had to paint my elf ears. I bought them the wrong shade, and then I had to like day of. I was like trying to paint them, and I was like, "This isn't working." But it was kind of like I feel like it was definitely not as like intense of a look as other people. But I was like proud for my first one.
Yeah, that's awesome. That sounds really fun to.
Yeah, that's great. You like brought it from the gate. You know?
Yeah,
I love. Yeah, I love yeah. that. Yeah, so. It's fun. There's like lots of, also you can buy lots of like silly stuff there. My favorite at the Maryland Ren Faire is there was always this booth that you could buy little like goat horns for yourself.
But
the girls working it would always be like, do I make you horny? They just would be doing Austin Powers impressions all day long. And they would just go up to guys and like be like, what do you think? And it's just like, equal to opportunity, just like good natured harassment happening around you at all time.
Yes.
It's very, very fucking
silly. Everybody's a little horny. Oh, there was like a guy who was supposed to be the king of Spain and he had a fan that said daddy on it. It's like,
I love it.
Speaking of daddy, wait, Monisa, have you seen the Barbie movie?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so we've all seen it. The sugar daddy Ken that they said was real.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that for, do we think?
I don't know. I was looking it up and I was like, this is amazing.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
That it got past all those people. Like, it got into production, but like, it wasn't for kids, right? Like, right?
It feels very cokey.
I feels cokey, and it feels like, I don't know. To me, I think, I feel like, were they trying to do like a coded like gay Barbie to get to like, because they knew that gay guys might want to buy Barbies.
But like adult gay men?
I think so.
I bet that they were like collecting Barbies. Like they saw on their like demographics, they were like, oh, we've got a contingent of adult gay men that buy Barbies. We need to make something specifically for them.
I mean, that's brilliant if that's what they were doing. Kind of like how Subaru was like, oh, lesbians are buying our cars. We'll just be the lesbian car.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just looking it up. I did not realize that Sugar Daddy Ken came out in, what year do you think it came out?
Like it's when we were kids. Later. It looked like, from the credits, it looked like, I'm going to guess that it was like, my guess would be like 94.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's like way older than that, but it's not.
Yeah.
2009.
No.
Based on this article.
2009?
No.
Yeah. Oh. Until released the dapper gentleman that is Sugar Daddy Ken in 2009.
Okay, then it is for sure just like a joke for...
Yeah. As a special edition doll exclusive to the Barbie 50th anniversary line and meant to appeal to adult collectors.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Because I think a lot of Barbie stuff is like, isn't even geared towards children. They're just like gearing it towards adults who collect dolls.
Yeah, yeah. That makes more sense.
I mean, but still, a hell of a look. God damn, 2009.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like, because that's why I thought like, oh, it's something from like the 70s when they were like, oh, we can't like, here's a male doll, you know.
Exactly. Or like they would have her like on a shag carpet. It's like shag Barbie or like just super coated sexy stuff.
Like Obama was president when Sugar Daddy Ken was happening. Whoa. Yeah. It doesn't feel right. It feels like a time loop.
A simpler time.
That's so funny. Oh my god. Well, man. Well, we learn something new every time.
History podcast.
Monisa, we have one more question for you.
Okay.
Oh yes.
Sell me this pen.
Let me grab it. Wait, do I have one?
Ooh, okay. Space work.
Can you sell us this pen?
Do you have ideas? Do your ideas need to go places, but you don't know how to take them there? The Sharpie, what kind of Sharpie was that? The Sharpie pen.
That's just a standard.
This standard Sharpie pen can take you and your thoughts anywhere they want to be. Sharpie, go places.
Ooh.
I am not even buttering you up. That might have been our best pin pitch we've ever had.
That was. That was incredible.
Thank you.
Top tier pen pitch.
Yeah.
Top tier pen pitch.
Wow.
The last person we pitched a pen, or we had pitch us a pen, was Alan, and he just offered us a weed pipe instead.
Yeah.
So I see PBS, give the dollars out, please.
Give us the money.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to buy Sharpies. We'll be back in a second, everybody.
Be right back.
Hey, everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Monisa.
And it's time. Lady Problems. Give us a phone call, 323-6-BUT-30. Send us an email, ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady Problems. Lady Problems. Lady Problems, do you have them? Lady Problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hey, ladies, I heard you needed Lady Problems, so here's one. I'm a pretty young manager in a kitchen. I'm 25, and so a lot of the people that I work with and manage are quite a bit older than me, 40s or 50s. And this is hard enough to navigate, but lately at work, we've been dealing with somebody who just doesn't seem to get what is going on. We've told him that he cannot smoke weed on the job. We all smoke. We all would like to be high all day, but, you know, it's just not working out for for what's going on. And just in general, you know, I need help dealing with somebody who, quite frankly, is just kind of an idiot. And I say that, you know, knowing that everyone doesn't have an equal chance in life and education and things like that. But how does somebody younger tactfully and respectfully manage people that are twice my age? Any advice on that would be crazy.
I love this, like, 50-year-old bro who's, like, reeking of weed in the office every day.
Well, I think she said, like, she works at a restaurant, right?
Oh, is that what
she... I think she said in a kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Which is not, you know, but even still, different vibes, usually restaurants.
Yeah. But if it's like impacting your work or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I have never smoked weed before working at a restaurant. That's bad.
Oh, my God.
All right.
The not fun answer. This recently happened at my job, and the guy just got fired.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
He just, like, couldn't. He was just always high at work and, like, couldn't get his shit together. Yeah. And finally, it just, like, came to a head. So.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, if someone's not take, is someone you're actively asked him to not do it, and he's still doing it? There's not a lot of roads out of that.
The defiance is, like, hard.
Yeah.
Ask him to only smoke CBD.
Yeah.
There you go. Make the switch, man.
Or if you live in a state where you can still get menthol cigarettes.
Maybe that. Yeah, get a vape.
Get a vape. I mean, here's the deal. You work at a restaurant. Some people are going to be high until they get fired.
Yeah, and then they'll just go be high at another restaurant until they get fired there. And then 20 years from now, they'll be like, wait, what happened?
Maybe this is the turning point that he needs in his life. This is his rock bottom.
Yeah.
That's possible.
It is.
I mean, it's not, but you could be part. You could be the beginning of the rock bottom.
It's nice. A girl that. Can dream.
You
could
kick it off.
Yeah.
I can kick it off.
Yeah, God, that's really hard. I mean, I haven't been in this position necessarily where I'm like having to manage people who are a lot older than me, which I think puts you in a really unique, like,
yeah.
weird space as a woman, yeah. especially if it's a guy. There's so many factors here that make it like feel awkward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, all you can do is do your job, which you sound like you're. You know, you're a reasonable person, you get it, but also you yeah. have to be like, dude, you can't do this. So you give him, what, 3 strikes? I mean, I would just give him the amount. I would say, like, look, lay it out. You got one more chance. If you fuck it up, that's it, man. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, it kind of sucks, but I do think, like, people in, like, managerial positions, I think it's also important to, like, maintain boundaries
like,
within a,
yeah.
yeah, with the yeah. workplace. Like, you are, when you are a boss of some kind, it's like things can get, like, very gray and messy if there isn't like that doesn't mean you can't be like friendly with your people, but it's like at the end of the day you still need to have like that distance, I think, to be able to be effective, you know.
And it's like position. I wouldn't get in your head too much about the age difference, because I don't know, I feel like once yeah. we're adults no. we're all adults, like I don't know, like I'm just gonna choose a random age, but let's say everybody above 24 is the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I don't know, like, you guys are in this professional situation because you are, like, don't undercut your own authority and your own, like,
right.
deservingness mm-hmm. to be in that position just because you're a little bit younger than this person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, like, you can give yourself, like, yeah, don't undercut yourself, but I think it's good to give yourself the grace of, like, you know what, they were raised at a different time, so I but that doesn't like take away from like how, you know, what you need to do. But if they're not respecting you, then it's not about you, it's about like potentially like
exactly.
some bullshit of theirs,
exactly,
you know.
Yeah,
that it's like, that's what I mean, you know, like,
yeah
you know, like I have a one of my really good friends works she like has like a office ass job, but she like works with like a bunch of older people who like she's above a bunch of them, and like the women in the office like will say like the most like problematic like weight stuff to her all the time.
Oh.
She's like a very skinny, like naturally very skinny person, and they're always they'll watch her eat lunch and like say shit, and she has to be like, hey, thanks, but you know,
yeah,
I'm good.
We don't need to talk about this.
You know, it feels extremely generational.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, talk to her about it. So it's like, that's, you know, it's like, that's not her fault by any means, but it is just like a weird, like, man, why don't you know this? So I don't know. Maybe that guy, go scratch all that guy's Cheech and Chong DVDs. And maybe he'll like feel like, oh.
Okay, sorry. Quick know. Side note for Cheech and Chong, but mm-hmm. anyone who's unfortunate to still be on
the gummies?
X, aka Twitter.
This fucking ad.
Cheech and Chong are selling weed gummies, and it is the most annoying. It is in every feed constantly. Every yeah. third tweet
oh.
is the. Is,
really?
Is like, it's like, this should be us, but you're not a gummy. Like, and this Cheech and Chong. So it's like weirdly yeah. old. They're trying to speak to the young kids, but like, it's bad marketing, and it is everywhere. They
everywhere.
Have paid so much money yeah. for this.
It feels like they're the only advertiser on Twitter right
yes.
now.
They might be.
They're carrying Twitter, but it is like incessant. It's so yeah. fucking
well
annoying.
And it's also like, sorry, it's but like you're not gonna like stop trying to make fetch happen. Like, you're not gonna reinvent the gummy wheel. We all already know about gummies.
Yeah,
right. And it's like y'all should have been on this years ago. Why did it take yeah. so they probably had too much likeness paperwork to go through or some shit, but Jesus, it yeah. is it they is just, so insane.
They just didn't take their email for a decade, and they were like, oh fuck, we should have looked at this. There's a
yeah,
lot of
exactly.
opportunities here.
We're on too
oh,
many
man.
Gummies, yeah.
Speaking of that, one of my aunts, just speaking of checking your email, she goes, yeah, I didn't want email on my phone, so when I had the guy set it up, I said, don't put it on. So now I just don't have email on this phone.
That's genius.
I was like, that's fucking brilliant. She just has an email-less phone.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a dream.
I know.
Goals.
It.
Goals.
I know.
Wow. Yeah, I think
also, are these, are they, I'm sorry, one more thing about the gummies.
Oh.
Yeah.
But weed isn't legal everywhere. It must be just a targeted. I don't know.
Okay. I get. Honestly, I haven't looked at it enough. It's just like, it is the most annoying ad campaign I've ever seen in my life. And it is like, yeah, nonstop.
God bless. God bless. Like, yeah. they were like really from a time when it was like really edgy to just be like pot.
To be. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They you know, it became your whole personality.
Yeah.
It's a whole fucking thing.
And it's like, well, it's cool if that's your brand, man, but
yeah, yeah.
Leave me alone on this shitty ass website.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, good luck. I don't know. This dude, yeah, he's going to get fired, so.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, here's the deal. Yeah. Hold him to the same standard that you would hold literally any other employee. I know I joked about being high at my restaurant job, which I have done before, but I was a waiter. When you work in the kitchen, that's different. You're dealing with heavy machinery, knives, shit like that. You can't have someone fucked up at work.
Yeah.
Hold him to the exact same standards that you would hold anybody else. And if you need to fire him, don't feel bad about it. You're just doing your job.
And yeah. I'm sure you have this in your policy, but make sure someone else is there when you let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
for sure.
You always need to make sure it's recorded and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it's like, he's probably pissing off everybody. If he's pissing off you, he's pissing off everybody else by fucking with their shit and making it harder to... You know?
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, then he can just, like, deal the weed to everybody else after hours.
Yeah, he's got an income source.
Yes. Yeah, he's fine.
Then you can be friends and smoke together after he's gone. No, don't do that either. The weird boundary still.
Probably. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you got this. Let us know. Fire him when he's really high.
I think that's kind of what's going to have to happen.
Yeah. Spoonful of sugar.
He might forget though and come back to work still.
Oh God. That's true. I'm having to refire somebody. Like, I fired you yesterday because you were too high.
This is what I'm saying. Record. Have someone else there and record this shit. So you can be so like, funny. Playback, run the playback.
I used to work at a restaurant with this chef that was just always drunk on the job, and he was really funny, and he was British, and he would say these like really, really inappropriate things. And then he got these fake teeth that were like bright white, so he would just say these like really horrible, mean, crude things to you while you were getting food. And one of the waitresses there was significantly worse than the rest of us. And so she's like at the window, like, where's my, I had a pasta. Where's that chicken? I think I put in the chicken. And just like in the weeds, shitting the bed. And he just goes, poor old cow. Oh my God.
Oh, God,
with
that would
say you. With teeth rumbling around.
Poor old cow.
Feels like that would send you to college, back to college. Like, that shit. Yeah. Like, oh, no, I'm done. I'm out. Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's do one more.
Okay, one more. This one's written in. Here we go. Dear ladies, my husband, who likes animals, is severely allergic to anything with fur. Not runny nose allergic, but full body hives, asthma, can't breathe allergic. The kind of allergy that doesn't respond to allergy injections. He suffered on all kinds of medications to control his asthma and hives for 17 years with our cat, who passed away 2 years ago. My husband almost immediately stopped all his expensive medications and became virtually asthma-free, unless in the presence of a furry animal. We firmly decided not to get another pet, but I feel a deep emotional void that only a pet could fill. Mm-hmm. We have two children. They're great and all, but I just feel incomplete. We researched the least allergenic cat, paid a ridiculous $2,000, and waited 6 months for our beautiful new kitten to join us. That pet-shaped void filled, and this kitten was a perfect match for our family. Within 2 days, husband's asthma returned with a vengeance. Aww. We kept our sweet kitty almost 2 months before it was just too much for the meds to control. Aww. I couldn't in good conscience let my husband's health suffer, though he was willing. The breeder graciously rehomed our kitten and refunded our money. It was devastating for the whole family. I don't feel I can discuss my persistent feelings of grief and longing with anyone except my husband because it's, quote, just a pet, and we are so fortunate otherwise. But I know Lady to Lady is a safe place for this discussion. My lady problem is not how do I get rid of my supportive, wonderful husband. It's not how do I still have animals in my life. My lady problem is how do I let go of a significant lifelong desire / dream.
Oh.
My heart.
I know.
Man. Man, I think one of my first thoughts would be doing something similar to what Tess does. Tess does a lot of volunteering at shelters mm-hmm. and with rescues. So you could like go in person and like, you know, be helping there and then, you know, change or whatever you need. That way you're getting your animal fix away from the house and also helping other animals find homes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I'm not in this exact same boat, but I would love to have a cat, and I can't because of Sean's asthma. Yeah, and in a volunteer situation where you can still be around them, you're like actually like really, really meaningfully impacting their lives. You're getting that quality time. I think that's a really good mm-hmm. yeah, option.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you said not how do I still have animals in my life was not the question.
That's true.
But, and I don't know what kind of person you are. Some people like reptiles and stuff. Some don't. I don't know. I like them all. Like, mm-hmm. if there was some, you know, follow on TikTok, follow people who own different kinds of animals. Because, like, I follow a lot of people who own, like, who own turtles, who own fish, who own, you know, iguanas or whatever, and like they're awesome pets, and like they, you really do connect with them, and you think like maybe you wouldn't connect with a fish or something, but people do. And so mm-hmm. I do think there are options you can have in your home that he won't be allergic to, that you can still interact with a pet and like have an animal in your home, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So follow on TikTok and like see which ones you like and be like, oh, I didn't think I was a bird person, but maybe I am, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, those are great options. I feel like I'm on TikTok seeing people with turtles all the time, and I used to think they were gross, but they're pretty cute.
Yeah, like I like a lot more animals than or at least watching. Obviously, owning one's different than just looking at it, but mm-hmm. I think like you can bond with more than just, you know, the furry kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
Now to the harder part of your question. How do you let go of a significant dream that you've always had for your life? I mean...
I mean, I feel like it's so much of life is like, it's so hard getting older and like realizing either things are going to work out specifically the way you want it, or like being just sad, grieving things in your life that you can't change. I think that's mm-hmm. really what it is. Like mm-hmm. I grieve a lot for like loved ones who I can't change their circumstances. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it just sucks. And some days I think you just have to let yourself really feel the grief, and then mm-hmm. like, the next day you'll probably feel a little better, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like even the fact that you're like identifying this as grief and like feeling like you're at least, or you're writing into us about it, and like you are talking to your husband about it. So like, I think that's really good that you're going through, you're like letting yourself feel the sadness instead of like pushing it down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we kind of have to let go of like everything always, right? Like anything could be taken from you at any time. Like it's not just the cat, like the whole everything. So, like, I think more, like, cultivating that sort of detachment from any outcome in your life, especially detachment from, like, things that you can't change. But what you can't – there's so – like, every – like, literally, you know. Yeah. We just went through a global pandemic that none of us saw coming. Like, there's – like, the whole thing is uncertain. Like, there's going to be so many things in our life that never come true. So I think it's, like – to me, what's been most helpful is just sort of, like, cultivating that idea of just sort of letting go in general.
Yeah. And I've found, at least like for me, I feel like if you try to like be like white knuckle onto this moment was good, I'm staying in this moment, that gets harder and harder, and it hurts more and more too. Mm-hmm. To try to like will the circumstances to something, and it just doesn't. It will only hurt ultimately mm-hmm. if you don't kind of ride the wave of life, man.
Because, like, I'm sure there's a million things in your life that are sort of the inverse of this, that, like, mm-hmm. you are so happy that you have now, but they were never things that you intended. And, like, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's good surprises and bad surprises.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because it's, like, if I think about, like, even just from, like, a... like career perspective or something, it's like podcasting didn't exist when I knew I wanted to be a comedian. It's mm-hmm. like I didn't know that this would be like such a massive part of who I am when I was older. And like, you know, I remember being 10 years old and being like, I'm gonna make my first $1 million by the time I'm 25. Like that's what's gonna be. And it was just like just being very like this, that's the way it's gonna be. And then it's like, no, like it's not, life is not the thing that you think it's, you know, it's gonna take twists and turns that you don't see coming. And then, you know, you find ways to be happy along the way. And I think that's like the ultimate lesson for all of us, is to be like, oh, this, to not fight it and be like, no, this is actually because we grow as people and we learn who we are more and more as time goes on too. And it's just like, oh, the person that I thought I was when I was like 20 is different than the person I am now at 39. And it's just like, if that 20-year-old got everything she wanted, she'd probably be a monster. you know?
Yeah.
I think too, I don't know, if you're not already seeing a therapist, therapy can always help you deal with like that kind of transition in life. And I'm a really big, this feels like a basic answer, but like I love journaling. So just like, I don't know, write out all your little sad feelings about it. And hopefully that'll help you handle that loss a little bit.
Yeah, totally. And I think like the answer to like any loss, especially, is never to be like, don't acknowledge it. Like, you know, that only makes things worse. It's like to work through it, you know, is a lot, you know, and to also like give yourself space continually to still be sad about stuff. You know, it's like there could be shit that hits you like a decade later that you're like, oh, fuck, I didn't think I was gonna be sad about that today. But let's give yourself some space and clear. And then you always feel better on the other side of it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's tough. But yeah, I think you can definitely, like you said, find ways to get some little...
Oh, yeah.
You know, kitty boots.
Get your kitty
boots.
I mean, even beyond volunteering, like, yeah, any of my friends who have cats, you know, a lot of them are afraid of me. That's fine. We don't know each other that well yet. But anyone...
You're saying our friend, we're afraid of you.
All of my friends are afraid of me. So we all have our cross to bear. No, but yeah, I mean, like, you always have, like, there's houses you can go to that have kitties, or like if you have friends that like, or let it be known that like you want to be the friend that like if someone's going out of town, you'll go hang out with the cats. Like, there's definitely ways to hang out with kitty. I know, but it's not the same as you're having your own kitty, but there are ways to have cats.
What if you start putting food outside at night and then you become the mother to a bunch of raccoons, which are garbage cats. So.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they're garbage can cats. And then they won't come in your house. They'll just eat food with their little hands through your windows.
yeah, good luck. I'm sorry. But it's, you know, on the flip side, it sounds like you have a great family. And
yeah,
you know what I mean. So you have a pet in the form of a husband.
Right, the ultimate pet. I mean, talk about the grooming you got to do with one of those.
Exactly. Also, tell those kids to step it the fuck up. Come on. Yeah. we're replacing a cat here, guys. Come on. Put on a little play or something.
Yeah, dress up as a cat for Halloween.
Exactly.
Get it together.
Exactly.
Monisa, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun.
So fun.
Tell everybody where they can follow you on Instagram and all that fun stuff.
Oh, yes. You can follow me on Instagram at Nisa B, NEESUHB. Sometimes I post little silly videos and things. So, and then also on TikTok, I think my TikTok is Auntie Nene, NAE. I don't have a brand across all of the, a solid brand. So yeah, just find me. I'm just being weird on the internet.
Yeah, I was looking at like, I don't even, some fucking social media thing I put on my phone that I'd forgotten about. And like, I always write a different bio for all of my things. I was like, oh yeah, I do not have the same, not the same brand, not the same photo, nothing.
Yeah.
Just figure it out, everyone.
We're just playing.
I want to keep people guessing, you know. I want to be a mystery.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a brand. Your mystery. It's fine. It's good. And if you live anywhere in the Seattle Tacoma area, Monisa is a very, very, very funny comedian. So if you see her in any lineups, go see her.
Yeah. That's it.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hey, ladies, I have a little fun fact, you know, take it or leave it. But I just listened to the episode called Panic Files, where it's just the ladies. And Brandy was going on or describing everything about the Dutchman. And then she mentioned that he was German, but that in general, no one knew why he was called the Dutchman. the word German in German is Deutsch. So that might be where it came from. That's why Amish people are called Pennsylvania Dutch. They're actually German, but, you know, idiot British colonials didn't really get that German was different from Dutch and the word was Deutsch, so they just called them Dutch. Yeah, so that could be, you know, a Californian idiot being like, oh, you're Deutsch? You must be a Dutchman. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that little fun fact. Enjoy your day and have a great day.
Hi, ladies. I'm catching up on your episode from April, Remember the Outlet Mall, and just wanted to add to the discussion about the Alamo and say that nobody loves the Alamo more than Phil Collins himself. If you go to the Alamo, there's a little like diorama scene thing across the hall with lights and a voiceover, and Phil Collins does the voiceover. He like owns all this property and stuff, and it's super weird. But I just thought that y'all would like to know that. Love y'all. Have a lovely day.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brand Dazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.